the Christian Fellowship. All right, yeah, you can clap too. All right. Okay, we continue in 1 John. Last Sunday night, we talked about what we have and cannot lose. Tonight, we're going to talk about what the world offers and cannot give. So let's go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17, as we look at what the world offers but cannot give. John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. I preached this passage before, a little different, about why we don't love the world, because what the world is, what the world does, and where the world is headed. But tonight I'm going to talk about what the world offers. They think they offer a lot, but they can't deliver. The promises are empty and void. So our text tonight is 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Let's stand in honor of God's word, if you will, as we begin to read. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, then the love of the Father is not in him. Did I say that, or did the Bible say that? For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away. When I get my teeth, I'll be able to say that. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Father, tonight, as we open this text, open our hearts. Understand the empty promises of the world. We know that, but help us to warn other people about who are going after the things of the world that will never find joy and peace and satisfaction. And we ask these things tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated, if you will. John, the apostle, uses the world six times here in our text. The world here does not refer to God's good creation. The word world here does not even refer to the people that he died for. And we see that in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, right, that he gave it, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And 1 John 2:2 said he was a propitiation for the sins of the whole world. So that's not what it's talking about. When we talk about the world here, John is talking about the world system that's headed up by the evil one. We have overcome that when we got saved. We are overcomers. We read in chapter 5. We don't have to wait to be overcomers. We have already overcome the world, John says in chapter 5. But it's the flesh, the desires of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. In verse 16, and what the world offers, the things that the world offers are only temporary and transient. They're going to pass away. They have no lasting value. Amen? Have no lasting value whatsoever. We're not to adapt because we're out of the world system. We're not to love the mindset and the values and the conduct of the world that is contrary to God's word. For instance, the world says, abortion is a choice. God said it's murder, right? The world says we evolved. God says he created in six literal days, right? So you get the drift. The world is not going to teach you the Bible. And whatever they're teaching you is contrary to the word of God. So we need to understand that tonight. So John shares three promises in our text that the world offers but cannot deliver. And at the end, we're going to take an affection test. I'm going to ask you 10 questions. You answer those, and we're going to see if your affections lie with the world or with God, okay? And you won't have to answer those out loud. It's just something for you to think about. Number one, verse 15, the world cannot give you what you need. The world cannot really give you what you need. Look in verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things of the world that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The objects of our affections need to be rightly ordered if we are going to be truly and ultimately satisfied and happy and joyful and peaceful. So why does John command us not to love the world or the things of the world? Because they're contrary to the word of God. To love the world is not to love the Father. That's what he said in verse 15, wasn't it? If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So you can't love the world and the Father at the same time. right? You're out of the world. To love the world is not to love the Father, and we are to pursue His love, and not the love of the world. John chapter 8, verse 44. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of the flesh. Now, if you think Trump was hard calling MS-13 animals, how about Jesus calling the scribes and Pharisees, you're of your father the devil, right? He says, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. I told you earlier in my ministry about a cousin I had in Athens, and their daughter got caught up in Satanism. And I don't know all the ins and outs of it, why they couldn't have stopped it, but they come home one day and found her dead in the bathtub. She had hung herself in the bathtub and with her own blood had written satanic symbols on the bathtub wall. And we went to her funeral, and most of our family at that time was believers, and so they asked us to camp ourselves around the grave and be praying, because her cohorts were there. They were all there with the black trench coats around, and I appreciate the pastor who mentioned the name of Jesus, you know, and the way of salvation, and Satan trembles at that. So I'm saying is, we look at these things and we say with our children, they're innocent, and they're not innocent, folks. They're going down a path where you don't want your children to go. So you need to monitor what your children look at, what they read, and what they watch. You are your father the devil. He that speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So God, choose God the Father, not the worldly enticements of the Father, a father of lies. And sin is enticing. Sin is, it has a strong allurement, because our sin nature, it pulls toward satisfying our appetites. And so we're not to choose the world. Not to love God the Father is to love a lesser love. You don't want to settle for that. And you can never be satisfied by the world and what they have to offer. If you don't believe that, look at the suicides that happened when the stock market crashed in the Great Depression. They literally jumped out the window, right? Committed suicide, because all that they had their hope in was just lost, right? I want to tell you what, I ain't got much, but if I was to lose it all, they can't take Jesus away, amen? And they're not going to take that away. The world cannot satisfy you. They cannot give you what you truly need, okay? Second of all, the world cannot give you what it promises in verse 16. Here we see the method of operation of the devil. It's been around ever since the garden. He says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. We see his weapons. Again, this is how he works. Now, he changes them. You get minutiae, little different tidbits, and appears different ways. But basically, Satan works through the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And this battle plan goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. Linda and I were talking about that. Was it Wednesday night? Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, see, the lust of the eyes, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, the pride of life. And she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, standing beside her, Adam. Noodleback Adam did not give leadership. And she usurped leadership over Adam. And sin nature comes down to Adam, the federal head of man. And he gave it to her, and he did eat. Now, they're the same old questions, weapons that Satan used on Jesus in his temptation. In the Gospels, you read about the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness. The same things, pride of life, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of eyes. Now, let's look at each of these in verse 16. The lust of the flesh, that appeals to our base appetites. You see, it lust refers to a desire or cravings or passion. The word lust itself is neutral. What makes it bad, good or bad, is the object of our lust, okay? Like God has created sex within the confines of marriage, right? But you go outside God's parameters, then it becomes wrong. It becomes evil, right? The word is neutral, but the object of our lust is determined whether it's good or bad. Always remember that. We ought to have a desire for the things of God, don't we? And I had a conversation with somebody today. I can't make anybody love God. I can't make anybody love the things of God enough that they would come to church, right? And I can't change a heart. I can't do anything. My job is to tell you the way of salvation and to equip you for the Word of God in your journey of sanctification. And he says here in verse 16, look at it again, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh. Now, there's different Greek words here. The flesh could mean your skin, you know. But it speaks of the tendency and the bent of humans to fulfill their natural desires that are bent away from God, which are contrary to God's word. The lust of the sin nature, the old man, the nature after Adam, okay? And that's what it's talking about. So sin fulfills our desires of the flesh. And I hate to tell you this, but as long as you're in this body, you're going to struggle with this your whole life, okay? Nobody's going to be perfect, right, until you get to heaven. You're going to struggle with this, you know? The sin desires and the nature of man is very strong, okay? So, again, sin fulfills our desires of the flesh. Sin begets sin. The only thing that can satisfy our sin nature is sin, right? And then we see the lust of the eyes. These appeal to our affections. The lust of the flesh appeals to our appetites. The lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes appeals to our affections. Verse 16b, I'll give you a little example. John and Felicia got a new cell phone the other day. They'd run out and they're old and they couldn't charge no more and went and got a very basic smartphone. But just, I had a little twinge there. I went by Verizon. I was going to check on me a smartphone, a new one, right? You see how it works, right? You've seen it in church, right? Somebody buys a new vehicle. Next thing you know, there's three sitting out there, right? Am I not right? They come up here in a big old Suburban. Next week, we got four of them out there, right? It's just our nature, right? So the lust of the eyes appeals to our affections. The eyes are not evil, just like your cravings are not, your lust is not, your desires are not evil, but our eyes are not evil, right? But they are the window to the soul and the window to the heart, right? And this is how Satan gets to us. We begin to look at the wrong thing, right? And then next thing you know, we have sinful desires that are stirred up within us. The eyes are not evil, but the windows, they're windows to the soul. That's why we got to be careful what we watch on TV, right? And I don't think you can go wrong by watching the Weather Channel, except when they begin to get in climate warming, I turn it, right? I'm not going to have my mind filtered with that propaganda from the world, right? And that's just a little example, but you know what I'm saying. Be careful, little eyes, Faye, what? What you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little lips. Mouth, what you say, right? Can't get no more basic than that, right? When I want to get basic in my theology, I ask Faye about a little children's rhyme, right? And she'll share them with her because she's got them all in her head. So David's eyes, King David, right, led him away from the Lord, right? It led him to lie, led him to commit adultery, and it led him to murder. Right? Folks, we are not strong enough to let our little wandering eyes stay on something without something bad happening. You with me? That sin nature is too strong. And then there's the pride of life, verse 16, look at it, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, see? This is how he tempted Jesus. You know, you can have your kingdom now. Just jump off the Temple Mount. No, you're not going to get hurt. The kingdom of the world will be yours. Jesus quoted Deuteronomy for all these temptations, right? And Jesus knew that all the kingdoms of the world would be his one day, right? So he did not succumb to Satan. So the pride of life. Now listen to your pastor closely here. Pride is vainglory, thinking more of yourself than what you should think. Boasting, arrogance. This refers to the braggart who tries to impress others. You ever seen anybody like that? They just strut trying to impress us, you know? Got preachers like that, you know? But they don't know more than this old boy knows, right? Most of them might even know less. And I didn't mean that to be braggart kind of way, okay? But I don't care about all the DDDs and the MDDs and all that behind their name, right? And we got people that are strutting, sitting down. You can spot them, right? And they have vain humility. They say, well, I'm a humble person. If you got to tell me you're humble, then you're not humble, right? And they have some key words that they use, the word I. You see I in their vocabulary a lot. I built this church. I gave $30,000 to Gideon to Bibles or other Bible societies. I did this. I did that. Me and my. Those are code words for somebody that is the pride of life. I got news for you. You didn't do nothing. Christ did it through you, right? And I think it's about time some of these preachers started giving God the glory rather than trying to build up another preacher and say, you're doing a good work over there. It's Christ building a church. It's Christ doing this. Christ saving somebody, right? If you raise $30,000 from a Bible, guess what? If you take the credit, there's going to be no reward at the judgment seat for you, right? So they're known, I started getting mad there, so I had to go on something else. But I, me, and my. They're I, me, and my people, right? Persons. So this person glorifies himself rather than God. They focus on their stuff, their career, their achievements, and their social standing. And because of the pride that they have, they are easily swayed and turned toward the world. They're setting themselves up for a fall. So we have the world cannot give you what you need. The world cannot give you what it promises. But then lastly, in verse 17, the world cannot give you what will last. Just ask any dead man that. Okay? The world is not going to give you what will last. I keep telling y'all this. So this is funny to me. I can't remember. I was riding down the road one day, and these attorneys advertise on the radio now and TV, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And I'm thinking, if they got to advertise for business, I probably shouldn't go to that person, right? So they advertise, have you been involved in a fatal accident? Call 1-800. Well, if I've been involved in a fatal accident, I can't call nobody, right? It's just so stupid. I shouldn't have used that word. I can't believe I used it. But John closes here. In verse 17, look in verse 17. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. He closes with two contrasting loves, two contrasting lives, and two contrasting approaches to life. Why give your love to something that's not going to last, right? Why give your affections to that which is worthless, fake, that which is an imitation of the real and the true thing? The things of God and the will of God will last forever, right? Now, I told you we're going to take a test. We're going to take a test of your affections. And I'm going to ask you 10 questions. I can't remember. I got these from Danny Aiken, if you will, a president of Southern Seminary. And I think he writes some of y'all's Sunday school books, John, in your class. 10 questions. Let me ask. He had more, but I'm going to only do 10 because I like the word number 10. Number one, and don't answer these out loud, is your focus on you or God? Is your focus on you or God? Number two, do you want to make as much money as possible or give as much money to help others? Well, that'll hurt. Do you want to go through this life making as much money as possible or give as much away as you can? Number three, do you want to make your name known or make his name known? Number four, do you live to please yourself or to please God? Number five, do you worship yourself as an idol or worship God? Boy, you want to look at idol worship, look at Hollywood, right? Man, I don't know how a Christian can watch some of these shows that they have these awards and Emmys and Academy Awards and hear and dress and some of the ungodly things. Just bashing Trump is bad enough, but how can a Christian watch that, right? Number six, do you want to be served or to serve others? I know pastors that want everybody to serve them rather than serve others. Number seven, do you promote self or promote others? Number eight, do you seek worldly wisdom or godly wisdom? Number nine, are you never satisfied with what you have or content with what you have? And number 10, do you seek to do the will of the world or the will of God? Right? That's an affection test. I'm sure all of you passed it, okay? It's going to let you know if your affections are on God or affections are on the things of the world. No invitation to that. Father, thank you again for the opportunity to come together and to study your word. Penetrating questions here at the end, but there are questions that need to be asked. We cannot follow the world because of what the world does, who it is, and its eternal destiny. And we cannot follow the world because it is contrary to the things of God. The world system apart from God, from Christ, the church, or the Bible. Help us to always look at things through the good of Scripture. And I pray for our graduates this morning as we send them off to, because they're going to hear things that are not in line with what the Bible, and they're going to hear things that are not in line with what they've been taught by their parents and by their Sunday school teachers, vacation Bible school teachers, children's church, Sunday school classes, or their pastor. But Lord, help them to know what they believe and why they believe it. And that same prayer applies to all of us as well, because we're out there in the world, we're going to hear a bunch of hogwash. And it reveals the heart of man, whether he's born again or whether he's not. So help us, Father, to be totally sold out to you and to the kingdom. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. You're dismissed.